I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
For today's episode, I have Cody McBroom as a guest. Cody is the owner and founder of Tailored Coaching Method, which is an online nutrition and coaching company. I've known Cody for quite some time now, and I've gotten to see his growth within this industry. I've asked Cody to share a little bit about his story and how he got into the fitness world, and even more so, how he kind of sought out and really carved out what his specific niche was going to be. Cody is someone that checks all the boxes when it comes to just doing whatever has to be done to create success. And in this case, it's to create the success, or what success means to him. So I've asked him to also give us a little kind of a crash course into the introduction to nutrition and really lay out some basic things that people could do. So if any of you are listening, you know, and you're looking for nutritional guidance, whether it be you're a beginner in the nutrition, you know, world, or you're a high-level athlete that needs very, very specific nutrition for your training or your goals, you know, these guys are the best in the biz. He's built a solid team. I've actually had the pleasure of working with the entire team through La Tribu, and they're only just getting better as time goes by. So I'm excited for you guys to listen to this, and without further ado, let's get into it. I guess first and foremost, appreciate you. Thank you for taking the opportunity to be on my podcast now. It's kind of a different... you know, different feel. I would have never thought, even the last time I was on yours, that this would be happening so soon, and I'd be the one leading it. But first and foremost, thanks, man. Thanks for being on here.
Yeah, man. Thank you. It's cool. It's an honor having your coach have you on. It's like this. It's like Inception, you know, because right, right. I'm so used to interviewing you and having you on. But I'm glad it happened this quick, man. I think, like, I kind of put a bug in your ear for the podcast, and you were like, yeah, I've been thinking about it. And then, like, within a week, you were like, what do I need? I was like, yeah. Dope. And I knew it would be powerful. You know, I think right. People are going to get a lot out of this.
And even just, you know, talking to Amy, my wife, about it, you know, we had kind of touched on it briefly. And then I went and shot your podcast, the second one. And then when I came back, I guess in both hers and mine, like the back of our minds, we thought, like, it'll happen a couple months down the line or a few months down the line. But I came back from that, and it's like, hey, just finished up, talked to Cody, talked to Travis, and... like, I'm gonna get a list of what I need, and then we're just gonna go with it. And I think with her, it was like cool, you know, because she also, you know, thought that it'd be powerful and obviously believed in it. But yeah, I think the biggest thing was just kind of like, how did it just go from a thought to now we're like all in? And it's like, we got to get the artwork done, we got to get the cover done, what's the picture, all that. So, but I mean, yeah, but definitely it was one, I think, a long time coming, but having that, you know, I guess that voice just like, man, you should do it. You should do it. You should do it. So it worked out.
Well, it comes down to at the end of the day too, you just got to ask you, like, okay, like, why aren't I doing it? And you don't really have any good reasons.
No.
It's like, there's no reason why this has to wait.
Right.
You have everything up here to do it. You know, like, everything is in your head, ready to speak.
Exactly.
And I think that's why, like, great podcasts are really easy to create, because it just comes naturally.
Right.
Like, it's years of your experience and your lessons. You just talk, you know what
right.
I mean?
It's all
Which
there.
Is a beautiful thing about it.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I guess first and foremost, I mean, obviously, thank you. But let's jumping right into it. For people that don't know you, just share a little bit about your story. I'll obviously record kind of the intro and let people know your background and your experience, your knowledge, and all that. But go ahead and share just a little bit about yourself.
Dope. Yeah, I didn't even realize we were recording yet. Cool. So. I mean, my story is pretty simple, man. I grew up I don't know, like, I feel like lost is the first thing that comes to mind, but I feel like that's a very negative way to look at my childhood, because I was a happy kid, but I was always lost. Like, I never really had direction. I feel bad saying that I didn't have a strong father figure, but it is the reality. Me and my dad are super close now, but he wasn't super present. And I think that, I mean, now I understand, because I'm a father and a husband and an entrepreneur, it's hard to do everything, you know, and to be right. present and like pay the bills and like stay happy and be a good husband and do all these things. So now I have a different perspective on that. But growing up, I didn't have that like strong father figure as often as I needed. And I didn't have any goals. I didn't have any motivation. I didn't have any, like, if you asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, I would have no idea. I'd like literally never had a single clue. I mean, there was like the period of time where I was like, oh, I'm going to be a pro skateboarder, but that's like every 14-year-old kid who jumps on a skateboard for the first time. And so I just went through, my teenage years like that, went through high school, just getting C's and D's and just not loving school. I was kind of the class clown and just had fun with it. And, towards the end of high school, I had a couple soccer injuries because I did play soccer. That was the only thing that kept me passing classes and making sure that I was doing what I needed to do. And I tore my meniscus in my junior year, had surgery, gained some weight. And then I came back from it, lost a little bit of weight, but started playing soccer again and was hoping the pounds would fall off and I'd get back into things. And I actually made captain of my team senior year and tore my ACL preseason, like before we even had a real game. So this is like the second injury on the same knee, and I was still in high school. So then I went through crutches and all that stuff again, gained even more weight, graduated, gained even more weight. So now I'm at this point where it's like maybe a year out of high school. I graduated when I was 17, and I was just like heavier than I've ever been. I was unhappy, and I just had zero like motivation and zero, like nothing to really be proud of. You know, like I didn't have any phenomenal skills. I wasn't athletic. I wasn't like, I was never like great at soccer. I was never great at skateboarding. I could get by.
Right.
Couldn't play any instruments. Didn't know any, like, there's just nothing. Like, I can't think of anything that I was like really like cool. And so like, I just had this weird moment of honestly looking at myself in the mirror, not liking what I saw. I saw some stretch marks coming and I just was like, man, what happened? Like, there's no reason, like, and I'm a black sheep. My family is all really small and lean. I'm actually the tallest in my family, and I'm not tall for those listening. But my brother always had six pack growing up, just naturally. My mom was a gymnast, a soccer player. My dad owned a karate studio, super fit. And then I was just out of nowhere. It was like just this chunk. And at that moment, I just looked at myself and was like, I'm going to do something about this. And I actually went upstairs and my brother was pissed. I threw away all the junk food. Like I just like went cold turkey. I was like, I'm just going all in.
That's it.
And usually that doesn't last, but it actually did. Like I actually like legitimately, like besides trying some fad diets that didn't really work for me, I literally just cut shit out, man. I stopped drinking soda. Like I stopped eating sugar cereal. I started like eating whole wheat bread instead of white bread and just doing whatever I could at the moment. And what was in plain sight of like, okay, that's clearly healthier, right? And so I did that. I started working out and I got obsessed, man. I just got obsessed with training, and it was finally something that I could like grab onto, like this is something I can be good at and have a skill with. So I just started learning and learning and learning. I actually ended up changing my degree to study health and personal training at school, and that was a whole another story where I actually forged my dad's signature to do it because they said no, which granted, I understand. I was like still kind of overweight and was like, I want to be a personal trainer. I want to change my degree. My dad's like, well, I'm not paying for that. So I just did it. And me and my dad have the exact same signature, except mine is CJ and his is VJ, Vince McBroom, Cody Joe McBroom. So I just changed the V to C to a V and it was good. But yeah, that, I mean, that set me on a tailspin of, I know Theo was on the podcast and he had a similar story because I met him in college as well. And Luca came and spoke at our class. It was finally somebody I could relate to. It wasn't another PT wearing khakis and a polo. And I felt like, oh, okay. Like maybe I can like really see success. Cause at the time people think personal trainer, you're not making much money.
Right.
So I was like, I don't really care about that. I just want to work out for a living. Like that sounds amazing. and then I saw Luca and that kind of gave me some drive. And then I actually started attending his charity boot camps. And then I interviewed for an internship, did the internship. Then I got hired and then I actually started training Theo. And then Theo became an intern after he worked with me as a client. And then he ended up being my coworker. And I mean, him and I are great friends. He was in my wedding. And that just kind of like set me on a 6-year journey of just getting as much experience as possible. You know, it's like, if I look back at it, it's like, I was so engaged in the process of just being a better trainer and just trying to enhance my craft. I didn't really think about business. I didn't think about family. I didn't think about like where I was going to live. I didn't think about anything except like, how can I be the best coach possible? And that set me up perfectly for when I was ready to start my own business. And when I was ready to do that, like it kind of just took off because I was patient enough to really build the foundation of what was required to do things the right way, essentially. And now I am where I am today, which is the owner of Tailored Coaching Method, which is a online coaching company. We do training and nutrition for people. It's really crazy, dude, like literally around the world now. I mean, we have clients in Japan, Australia, Slovenia, Europe, all over Europe, even South America now, and in Canada, and all over the country. It's been this crazy journey of just like growing and creating this reach. And now we have a team of 8 of us total that are able to coach and educate and help grow this brand. And it's been super rewarding.
Nice. So taking a step back, what was your original degree, or what was your original major?
Business.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was going to community college, and the plan, so my dad's, he's always been in business. He went to school for business. He didn't finish. Nobody's actually graduated from college except me. I was the first one. But he worked in the oil industry, in the car industry, his whole life. And he's still to this day, he's like one of the top salesmen for lubricants in the state. And when I was growing up, he ended up running a company. He stepped down from that after my parents got divorced, which was a huge lesson for me as a man, just seeing him step down from being a president. Sold his truck, his Porsche, his house, moved back in with his mom, just so he can have more time with us. And then I watched him recreate relationships with us, and then build all the way back up to now he lives on a golf course and he's successful and happily married again. And it's just been super, super cool to see. But yeah, originally, that was it. Just following his footsteps, essentially, like go to school, get a 2-year degree in business, and then sell oil. And
that was it.
And it was it. And you know, my dad's thing, and it makes sense. He's always like, people are always going to need 2 things in life, food and oil. And I think that food and gas, food and oil, food and vehicles. And I think like that's true, but you could probably spin that a million ways, like food and housing, food. And you know what I mean? Like
exactly.
There's plenty of things. But I couldn't argue with it. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? And he always told me, he's like, you're really good at selling. I've always been that kid that just debated everything with my parents. Like, it was never like an argument. It was like a legitimate, like I had like a really solid case and debate, and my parents would be like stuck, like what the hell? But my mom was just telling me about the other day. It was hilarious. She was telling me a story about me debating, like it was like cleaning up my toys or something, but it like made so much sense. And I was like just articulating the process of why it's pointless to do this. And so he told me that, and I was like, sure, I'll do it. I'll just do that. What else am I going to do anyway? But once I found training, I was just like, there's no way I'm gonna sell oil. I don't care about oil whatsoever. I don't know anything about oil. I'm not passionate about this. So I switched over.
How did the transition go from like the moment? Because I know, I mean, obviously you were doing almost like personal training, right? Mm-hmm. But at what point did, or what happened that you fell in love with? Because I see it 2 ways, right? It's the process of the training, right? Which is, I guess, the exterior stuff, the muscles and all that. But then there's the other side of it too, where the fuel comes into play, right? Like the food, your nutrition, you know, what you eat, what you don't eat. So at what point did it kind of change for you to go from, well, I want to be a personal trainer, to now I actually want to dive in more into the nutrition side?
Yeah. So it originally, like, I didn't care about nutrition at all, because I literally never stepped foot in the gym. So when I started training, I got this crazy rush in endorphins and adrenaline. Like, I just love the feeling of training hard. And when you're somebody who is 18 years old, you're overweight, and you've never stepped foot in the gym, it doesn't matter what you eat. If you start training, your body's going to change, right?
Right.
So I saw crazy results. So I was like, why would I even focus on my nutrition? But then there came a point where 2 things happened. One, I started getting a little more intrigued with it because I was like trying to continue my education. So I inquired and signed up for a precision nutrition certification, level 1. I ended up going further and doing level 2. So it was like multiple years of it. But I did that just separate myself, because I looked at, you know, like I'm always going to be in the gym setting. What do we all have, and what doesn't everybody have? And the thing that nobody had was that nutrition piece.
Right.
And what I saw across all my clients was that's their biggest struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, come into the gym and see me. I'm going to make sure you get a good workout, and you're probably going to have fun doing it.
Right.
But go home and just promise me you're going to follow that. Like,
right.
There was something not clicking. So I had to kind of tap into that. And then me being who I am, and I just go all in on everything, I was like, well, if I'm going to get certified, I might as well like hire a nutrition coach, and screw it, I'll get on a bodybuilding stage. So I went all the way in and was like, I'm going to sign up for a physique competition. I have 14 weeks to prep for this. I hired a coach. He really taught me about macros and calories and energy balance and all these things. And I dove into this like head first, and I competed, got abnormally shredded, like too far, really. I mean, it was a great goal to accomplish, but it's not something that's sustainably healthy.
Right.
But I got shredded. I looked great. I did the show. I learned so much about nutrition, and I saw how, like, I didn't touch my training. I didn't touch anything. I just tweaked my nutrition, and the result I got was insane. So that just sparked my mind to start diving in even deeper.
So it was, from what I take, you know, it was more of a, almost like a supply and demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, 100%. And I think that's the relationship between food and training that a lot of people really don't understand, right? And we can go deep into scientific, you know, findings and data and this and that. But for the normal person, I mean, what would you say is, I mean, I know obviously there's a lot of fad diets, right? There's diets that come up every week, it seems like, and they just keep getting crazier and crazier. And what do you think it is about those diets that keeps people on kind of like this yo-yo, or kind of like this cycle of just, I'm going to do a diet, man, I lost 10 pounds. And then obviously it's not a sustainable diet. That's why they fall back into the norm or what their norm was before. And then it never clicks that, man, I've been doing these fad diets for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, why don't I look or try and change that method? Why do you think that is?
I did the same thing, man. My first year was like, I just grabbed onto these fad diets and just started trying. And I think, like, the craziest part about it is there is a statistic that shows 95% of people who lose weight will gain that weight back.
Hmm.
And that's insane. At least once. Now, like, I'm even in that camp because I gained it back, and then I lost it and gained it back, lost it, gained it back, right, until I finally figured it out. And I think what it comes down to is education. And that's why we're so passionate about teaching our clients. Like, the first thing I tell a client is like, hey, I'm going to make you your own coach, because you're not going to hire me forever.
Right.
And if I don't teach you what we're doing and how it's working, then I'm not doing my job as a mm-hmm. good coach. And I actually think that's what really separated us, because when I started really pushing that message, not that many people did, because right. that meant your clients would leave you, and then mm-hmm. you're not getting paid. But I just didn't, like, that wasn't my focus, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think obviously now people are more familiar with the mentality of a go-giver and stuff like that, and it makes sense. But it really comes down to educating people on why those diets work. So mm-hmm. if we look at every single fad diet, it creates a caloric deficit. And a lot of people don't want to, they hate believing that because it's too simple. And the hard part, and so we have, as you know, we have a chief science officer. And one of the things I was talking with him about, because he literally is a PhD researcher doing the studies on this stuff, is I was like, does it frustrate you that, like, we have more and more and more science coming out, and it all just boils back to the fact that you need to create a calorie deficit? And he was like, yeah, man, like, I wish there was something cool and sexy, like, about these different strategies, but there's not. So if we look at intermittent fasting, you cut out a meal and fast. Well, guess what? You're eating less food. That's a calorie deficit. If you go paleo, you cut out a bunch of foods out of your diet. That's cutting calories. So you're in a deficit and you're gonna lose weight. If we look at Weight Watchers, there's a point system, but they reduce your points, so they reduce your calories, and then you lose weight. You know, there's all these different things that we can look at across the board. Keto, you cut out carbs, cuts calories. Like, across the board, it's everything. And what happens is, you create a calorie deficit, but you're doing it in a way that's not sustainable, or that you are choosing to do. You're doing something that a piece of paper is telling you to do.
Right.
So, and that's why, like, when we teach people about calories, we say, like, hey, like, if you feel better on a keto diet or a low carb diet, great. Like, we can do that. But just know, if you have carbs, you're not off plan. You're not sabotaging results. Just fit it in your calories. And mm-hmm. when people understand this energy balance conversation, now all of a sudden it becomes more sustainable, because they realize, like, oh, me having a beer isn't cheating on my diet, isn't falling off of my diet. It's right. just being flexible and being a real human being, because that's what we do.
Because that's what we do.
Yeah. And, you know, like, for me, and me and Shannon have, like, a cheese board basically every weekend, because we just love, like, wine and cheese and trying different things. There is so much fat on that board with right. the different meats and cheeses, but I make it work in my macros, and like, I won't gain weight from it. I'm not going to gain bad weight from it. And that taught me something valuable, because when I did my bodybuilding prep show, 14 weeks straight with no cheating whatsoever. I couldn't have anything that wasn't on this small list of foods. Like, my carbs had to be rice or oats. My protein had to be chicken or tilapia.
Just boring.
My veggies had to be broccoli, green beans, or asparagus. Like, it was so rigid. I got shredded, and I thought that there were these special foods, but I was just in a really big deficit, and I just shredded fat for 14 weeks. But after that show was done, which this is not something I recommend people do after a bodybuilding show, is I had a cruise literally set. Like, so I had my show, and then the next day I had a photo shoot, and then the next day I was on a cruise. And for a full week, all you can eat, all you can drink, dude, I would just went ham, because I've been restricting myself for over 3 months straight of just nothing, no alcohol, nothing. And so I drank every night. I ate burgers and pizza and whatever I wanted. There's buffet. I mean, I just kept eating. So I came back from that trip. I went to that trip being leaner than I've ever been, having the most visible abs I've ever had in my life. And then I came back with no abs, like literally no abs
just in one week.
And it was, dude, it was such a shot to my head, because I was like, what did I just do? And that actually sent me in a really weird mental place, because I let myself down. But then even deeper dive into education, because I was like, what just happened? Like, what's going on with my metabolism? What's the science behind this? And that sent me even further down the nutrition rabbit hole.
And I think, you know, when you talk about all these diets, right? I have conversations with my brother all the time just about diets and what to eat, what not to eat, and that. And because we both love food, right? We both love red meat. We're all about steaks. We're all about but I really think it's actually, you know, the majority of the people that really get tuned into what they should eat, what they shouldn't eat, what makes them feel good, obviously what doesn't agree with their body, that there's, I would say the majority actually have like a combination of all these diets. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, keto, well, just you can't eat that many carbs or whatever. And there's people that just don't like to eat certain type of carbs a lot, right? Yeah. And they won't consider themselves keto, and it's okay, right? But I think there's this, I guess, this general sense of that you have to have this diet name for your eating plan, right? Instead of just saying, man, I eat these foods, one, because they make me feel good. You know, my body reacts to them. I can perform better. I feel better. I sleep better by eating these things. And I'll just cut these out because my body is telling me to cut them out, not because the keto diet, you know, 101 book or whatever says that I shouldn't be eating those things.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, I think if you can remove the title from your diet, you're going to be much better off, because all these diets do have very applicable methods and principles within them. Like, I mean, obviously there's the principle of calorie deficit, but there's benefits of fasting. There's benefits of higher fats in your diet. There's benefits of higher carbs in your diet. And there's times for all these different things. So we kind of look at all the science behind all these, and we're like, hey, let's just use these as we see fit per individual, because everybody's different. Like, I do really well on a low fat, really high carb diet, where I have clients that are complete vice versa. They just function better. They feel better. They have less brain fog. They have better energy. They have better performance. And for me, if I remove carbs and go high fat, I feel lethargic. I have horrible brain fog. Like, we're just different. And that's like the whole thing with tailored coaching, is like, we're tailoring it to the person. Right. Like, everybody's different. And I think the more we can realize that, the better. And like you said, just take away the principles from the diets and use those principles as you see fit for yourself, versus being stuck in this like pigeonhole. Right. And I think it's like really empowering for people to get outside of that too. Cause I mean, you mentioned steak. I do a Butcher Box, and we have steak almost every night. The only time we don't is when Shannon's like, I can't have another steak. And I'm like, I love red meat. I love steak. And especially now that I got the smoker, it's just been like nonstop. But when somebody comes to me and they're like, oh, like, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. Like, it's like I remove red meat, I remove pork. And I'm like, well, what if I told you you can lose weight and you can still have pork? You can still have steak. And what if I told you I have more pork and steak than I have chicken? And they're like, wait, what? I don't have to eat plain chicken breast every night? And it's like, exactly. Now that whole longevity side of things, that sustainability goes through the roof, because they don't feel like they're dieting. Yes, there's going to be points in times where I'm like, hey, if you want to lose more weight, we have to pull calories. So you do have to sacrifice sometimes if you want to lose weight. That's just part of it. It's what creates self-discipline. But we're not going to keep you in that deficit forever. I'm not going to restrict certain foods from you while you're in that deficit and losing weight. And the reward of losing weight is going to be worth it anyway. So like, let's just set the frame and plan it out properly and go into it. And this is a really big thing. And then I'll pass the mic. I think doing it at the right times in your life, because I see a lot of people who are like, I really want to lose weight, and you know, like, I'm training my ass off, my work is crazy stressful, I'm only getting 5 hours of sleep, and they keep naming all these stressors, and I'm like, hey, you realize a diet is really stressful on your body. You're eating less food. It's not something that helps your body thrive in stress. But maybe this isn't the best time for that. Like, let's actually give you more food, and then like, let's just like manage intensity. Let's get like focus on sleep. Let's add some meditation in, some journaling, some like quiet walks by yourself, and like really get this person to just create less stress in their life, or just build up a tolerance for that stress. And then it's like, okay, now let's revisit the diet because I think you're ready for it. And I think that's something that a lot of people in my industry are afraid to do. Because if somebody pays me to lose weight and before I even take their money, I'm like, hey, let's wait 3 months and recover first. They're going to be like, peace, I'm out.
Yeah, but you're going to pay me. You're still going to pay me those 3 months.
Exactly.
Right, right.
But what ends up happening is the people that go somewhere else end up coming back 6 months later because they're like, well, I did the, you know, the 12-week thing with so-and-so. I'm not going to name drop people. And now I gain the weight back.
Right.
Like, you were right. Like, I need to figure something out. I'm like, cool. Like, let's.
Or I did lose weight, but I feel horrible.
Yeah,
I'm always tired. I feel weak, right? And I get that the same thing, you know, with the coaching is with La Tribu is that people come in and they have these very specific, right? And usually it's, let's just say like, hey, I'm referred to you by so-and-so who's been a part of the tribe for X amount of, you know, X amount of time with you. And like, you know, you did this really, really well for her. Like, I want to do it too. And it's like, well, like before we step into that, let's just have a conversation about what it is that you do. What's your daily life? What's your routine? And 9 times out of 10, you know, easily 90%, the first month or two, it has nothing to do with what their goal was.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's these, all these other foundation factors that are so messed up. Right. And for instance, in nutrition, you know, you said something that clicked was it's like your body has to react to certain things. Right. So it's not just a switch that like, oh, you want to go on a diet? Okay. Boom. Flip it. And it's going to be like, again, yeah, you will lose the weight, but do you really want to feel like crap? Right? Do you really want to be tired all the time? It's like, well, of course not. Okay. So in order to be able to do this, we need to kind of set this foundation up for you to be ready to take in the lower calorie and all that. Because I think the education part of nutrition is what's lacking the majority of the time is that people just don't understand why I shouldn't eat this or why I should eat this. Or, I mean, like you said, why is the diet not the best thing for me right now?
Yeah.
And a lot of people just bypass that. And I'll be the first one to say that if I didn't know what I know and somebody told me that, I'd be like, okay, I guess he just doesn't want to work with me. So I'm going to go call somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because that's just the norm now. And it's sad.
And I think that's what drives me to put out so much content is because I'm constantly talking about this. So when people get on the phone with me, they're like, I already know what you're going to tell me. Like,
right.
I get it. You know? And I think like we do something, we have a 3-phase approach essentially. And it's like, we call it prime, progress, and recover. And so like priming your body is like what you just said. It's preparing your body. It's getting ready for the diet. And I think that throws people off at first. And it's a really big value add because I'm like, hey, before I put you in a diet, I want to make sure your body is ready for it because then you will sustain the result longer. Mm-hmm. Your diet fatigue, which is essentially negative health markers that happen when you diet or higher stress and things like that, will be lower when you diet. And the diet will actually work better because your body is going to be ready to accept it. It's going to be ready to receive it. And then we'll go through a progressive phase, which is very specific. I'm going to give you a timeline. I'm going to give you exacts of like what we're going to do. And then we're going to have a recovery phase because I want to make sure that you get out of it and you can sustain it versus me just saying, okay, your cut's done. See ya.
Right.
Let me get your before and after for my testimonial page. And then they don't know what to do. Like, okay, well, I'm not eating much. I feel like crap. What do I do now? So we kind of take that 3-phase approach and we tell them that at the beginning because we want to make sure people are ready to actually stay with us long enough to do those things. So they don't have to come back, you know, and so we can do things the right way. And it's funny, man, because I think like what you said applies to every area of life. I mean, and you've probably heard this plenty of times with the tribes. Like, I know for me, every time I've hired a coach outside of the realm of training and nutrition, it always starts, and this is a typical guy thing, business. I need to, you know, make more money. Like, what's the marketing plan? What kind of funnels do I need? And like, it never goes that route. The coach is always like, well, hold on. Like, first, what's your routine look like?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's your headspace at? How's your relationship? You know, like, what's your relationship with like your kids? And it's like, we take this step back and then I realize months go by and I'm like, damn, we haven't even touched business, but business is doing really well. And it's because we set this foundation, you know what I mean? I think that's so unbelievably important.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to, you know, your 3-step phase, I always, you know, I think the easiest analogy I use is it's almost like when you're going to go for surgery. Right. Like for surgery, the doctor's not going to just like cut into you knowing that there's these other health markers or other things that you've got to deal with before. And the same thing, right? Like you might be ready now, but are you going to be ready for the recovery side of it? So the doctor, you know, the surgeon will always say, okay, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't do this for a certain amount of time before. And then I think of the surgery almost like the diet itself or the phase of the diet, right? And then what? How are we going to handle it afterwards? And a lot of people, you know, it's I think it's a misconception, right? Which I want you to get into just a little bit. And for those of you listening, you know, I had this pre-frame conversation with Cody as far as to try and limit the big words, the fancy scientific words, because I'm in the same boat, even though I'm closer to that industry and kind of have a behind the scenes, you know, there's sometimes I'll hear you say something on your podcast or on a post. And I'm just like, Google, what is this? Cause I have no idea what you're talking about. But for those of us, like those out there listening, like what would be, I guess, your best advice or tips, as simple as it may seem or as simple as it may sound, for anybody that's just trying, that's been struggling with, whether it's been months or years, and they just want to get started on, you know, I guess the lifestyle change. And I know that's kind of gimmicky and it sounds, you know, I hear it all the time. It's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. But people fall back into it over and over again. So it's not really a lifestyle. So I guess, what can you tell or what can you share for the average listener that's just trying to make a change?
Yeah. And I think, like, just to add an analogy into there, before I answer that question, is like, I always tell people, like, you can't build a house without a foundation. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. Exactly. So like that priming phase and that preparing is, that's your foundation. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, the best thing people can do is not focus on the big terms. I do talk about a lot of big terms and science stuff. We also, I mean, we have registered dietitians that hire us to do their stuff. So it's like, we have a range of people from elite athletes and dietitians and WWE athletes. And then we have like the everyday mom and dad who's like, I don't even know what a macro is. Can you teach me? And it's like, cool. Yeah, we can.
Right.
We can do everything in between. And I think it's not thinking that you need those smart, sexy, cool strategies in order to lose weight. And it's just focusing on those lifestyle changes. And then I think more important than that is like accepting that that's all you need right now. That minimal effective dose is actually plenty. Because a lot of people, they don't want to accept that they don't need this advanced stuff. Like you're at the base and that's okay. Like, I mean, in fact, that's great. Like, what's the point of doing all this crazy complicated shit if you don't need to?
Right.
So I always tell people, like, first accept where you're at and accept what's needed, and we don't need much, and then become aware of your surroundings. So before we even start taking away things or adding things in, it's like, I just want you to create awareness. So it's tracking your food on a piece of paper or on an app. It doesn't matter, whatever's easiest for you, really. I just want you to, like, consciously be jotting down what you are consuming. Mm-hmm. I want you to track how many hours of sleep you get per night. I want to track your daily energy and sleep, daily energy, motivation, and stress on a scale of 1 to 5. You can do all this on a notepad really easily once a day, right? And if you're not willing to do those little things with a piece of paper and pen, you're not willing to lose weight. Like, the goal is not important enough for you. And then we have to go back, like, okay, what's the why? Like, why do you actually want this? And I think when people can do that, a couple things happen. Number one, they become aware of what is not conducive to the result they want to achieve. And so I don't have to have like a barking order of like, well, you need to stop drinking, you need to stop doing this. Cause I'll just say, hey, what have you noticed? I drink too much beer. I'm stressed out all the time. I'm not getting nearly enough sleep. I'm like, okay, cool. Which one do you think will be the easiest to work on right now? Well, I can cut beer down 2 days. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll cut it down to 2 days a week. And then it's just like, we're just going to start there. Week goes by on a scale of 1 to 10. How do you feel about that habit? If it's not an 8 or above, we're just going to focus on that same habit again. If it's a 9 or a 10, I'm going to be like, cool. What's the next easiest thing on the chopping block? I can get more sleep for sure. Then we're going to get more sleep. And then the cool thing about these things is like, you're stacking habits and it becomes more motivated, more motivating to keep it going. And then they kind of have this compound effect too, because like, we all know, like, if you get more sleep, your metabolism increases. So you're going to lose weight. Right. You're going to have more energy. So you're going to have more energy expenditure. You're going to lose weight. You're going to have more brain, less brain fog and more clarity. So you're probably going to work more efficiently. You probably make more money because of it. Like, all these really positive benefits happen. And then those other habits that are down the line, like, maybe it is tracking macros, become easier because you're more clear-headed, you're already seeing results. And we didn't just jump into it like, all right, you want to lose weight? Cool. I need you to sleep 7 hours a night. You're going to cut out alcohol completely. I want you to track all your macros. It's like, whoa, like, this is too much stuff. Now, we do have people that we do that from day one, but they come to us and they're like, hey, I've been tracking for a year and I don't really drink much and I really want to take this to the next level. And we're like, cool, you're at that advanced level. That's what we're going to do. But I really think the easiest way to kind of boil it all down to one thing, it's like, what's the minimal effective dose? You know, I always tell people, like, you're trying to lose weight and you're going to add cardio. Why would you add 4 days a week of an hour long like walks on a treadmill when you can add 2 30-minute sessions and still lose weight.
Right.
The adaptation is going to happen. So don't go to the extreme adaptation right away, because that's what creates quicker burnout and essentially suffering. Like, you're not having fun with it. Right. So I think it's just, it's just that minimal effective dose, man. And if people can do that and start kind of chipping away at their lifestyle. And I think honestly that acceptance and awareness is the biggest thing. Like, what is your surroundings like? Who are the people that you live with? Who are the people you eat with? Where are the places you eat? Where do you sleep? Where do you work? Like, what are all the things around you, and are they supporting your goals? If they're not, change them. If you can't change them, change how you respond to them. And I think that's a completely different conversation. But this is where I think like really good coaching inside of my world comes into play. It's like, it's more than just macros.
Right.
You know?
And I think, you know, it's perfect segue how you said it in your world, because I mean, obviously I'm biased because I have, you know, I've kind of obviously been with you kind of through the journey and seeing you grow and all that. But I think I appreciate and respect the fact that you're not just nutrition, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think the majority of the people, they have either or, right? They're great at programming, training, following up with that, but their knowledge is minimal when it comes to nutrition. And they have kind of like, I guess, the baseline nutrition, right? Which is, I guess, I think every personal trainer should have, is just the basic. But once it gets like, okay, I've been doing this for 6 months, I've plateaued, now what? Then it's kind of like, I don't know, right? Where with you guys, I appreciate and respect the fact that it's at every stage, right? Again, like you said, from beginner to I've never trained before, I've never tracked my meals, to I'm a high-level athlete, been doing this for 10 plus years, and I still need to keep, you know, getting better. And I think that's the first question that comes into is like, you know, if I were to ask you for a training program right now, you know, your first or nutrition, your first thing would be like, what are you trying to do? Or what do you need it for? Right. Mm-hmm. You're not going to give me WWE superstars training program right now for me to go do, because that's just, I mean, it's not going to benefit me at all. Yeah. Right. Well, but if I were to tell you, you know, and I've seen you do it where it's like, man, I want to be healthy. I want to be able to, you know, go for a run and not feel sluggish, feel hurt. I want to be able to play with my kids until I'm super old and not feel it, right? And my grandkids and all that, that you guys can tailor it to that and really, I guess, have the next phase from that and what's the next phase from that to continue to keep going it. So I think the question is, in your mind, why do you think other personal trainers or other nutritionists haven't really grasped that, like, we need to be able to handle both sides of the track?
It honestly blows my mind. I always say, like,
because it's so
like,
simple, right? You would think.
Yeah, there's like, a lot of nutritionists that just do not understand training at all, and it blows my mind. I'm like, are your clients training? Yeah, every day. Well, then why don't you understand it? Like, that is, it doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
But I think that, like, I think it's really important because your training and nutrition, it's like the king and queen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think like the biggest, like, it's, they both play a role together so much to get the end result. But more importantly than that, every single individual is going to gravitate easier towards one right. or the other. So, and this is kind of like using a similar strategy, is like, I don't take away things, I add things in. Mm-hmm. So if I want you to remove something out of your diet, I'm probably going to add things in that naturally cause less of that other stuff to be in there. Mm, okay. Right? So if you're eating too much fatty foods or junk food or whatever, and I'm like, hey, I want you to add protein into every meal, like, now you have to find like lean meat or fish or like low fat dairy and things like that. It's going to slowly like fill you up and push the junk out. And right. it's just naturally going to create that result.
Right.
But I'm adding things in, I'm not taking things away. So like with somebody with training and nutrition, if I get somebody that's like all about training and ready to go, but they really struggle with nutrition, I'm going to like really tailor and detail out the training, and I'm going to go really easy on the nutrition because I know that's their weak point. It's harder to get their buy-in there. And I'm going to slowly kind of chip away at that. So it can kind of, as a coach, it can be my gauge of like, what am I doing the minimal effective dose? What am I really going in on? And how do I talk to that person? And then the other side of that is, if somebody hires me for nutrition and I'm not doing their training, I want to know what they are doing on a daily basis, because that determines how much muscle they're building, how their stress levels are, their recovery, their energy expenditure every day. And there's plenty of times where people plateau and they're not getting results. And it's completely because of the training. Like, nutrition's fine. I don't need adjust your nutrition, but I'm going to give you some advice on your training because that can change and we're going to get a better result without having to take food away from you.
Right.
But a nutritionist who doesn't understand training is left with one method, and that's pull food.
Right.
Let me restrict. Put you in a bigger deficit.
Restrict. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Restrict. Diet harder because that's the only tool I got.
Right.
And for trainers, it's the same thing. Well, fuck, let me push you harder. We're going to do more sets. We're going to add finishers. We're going to two a days. Like, and it's just like, or we can just track their nutrition and see what happens, you know?
Simple.
And I think, it's just, and it's, I mean, for me, it's one of those things. I think I've talked to you about this before too. It's like, I don't understand. This sounds negative, but I don't understand why people don't want to see growth or self-improve. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a no-brainer. Like, well, I'm in this world. I want to know everything about it. Like I study like communication and leadership more than anything now, mm-hmm. because that helps me be a better coach.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that as humans, the purpose of life is expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like you should constantly be trying to expand what you know and what you are able to do and give. And the only way to do that is to keep expanding like your knowledge and learn more and,
and
take away things from people and hire coaches or go through workshops or whatever it may be. Does that answer the question though?
Yeah. Well, and you know, going back to it, I think the communication, I think, is one of the biggest things. And now that I've been, you know, somewhat in like close to the fitness industry for a few years now, I've noticed that it's such a, how can I say it? It's such an like envious industry. Right. Where even though, and I've seen it, even though someone would know that it would benefit their client greatly by calling somebody else that is not, that maybe is way better at something than them, but they won't do it. Right. And I don't know if it's just like an ego thing or a pride thing. But in fitness, more than anything, I've seen that where, like, if for instance, if you're a really good personal trainer, and your client just needs that extra nutrition advice, and you know somebody that could do that, you still won't do it, because it's mm-hmm. almost like, but and that always leads me to, then you don't really have the best interest for your client at heart, right? And I see it over and over again.
And you're not providing enough value on your end, because you're that's a scarcity move, right? That's like me, you know, somebody hurts their knee, and I'm like, I don't want to send them to a PT because what if the PT takes my job?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
I don't know how to fix your knee. I'm going to send you to the guy I know. And,
right.
and I have to think, and I mean, like Theo's a great example. He has sent me multiple nutrition clients because mm-hmm. he's like, hey, I don't do that, but Cody's the guy.
Right.
Right. And it never takes away from him. It mm-hmm. just is like, honestly, it shows more value. And I think that's where people go wrong, is like, I have a network for everything. Like, and that's mm-hmm. what I love, like work with my clients, and you know, I work with coaches as well. And I'm like, are you creating a product, an ebook? I have a guy for that. Oh, you need like media stuff? I got a guy for that. Like mm-hmm. clients, oh, you need Cairo? I got that. PT, mm-hmm. I got that. And I even have them around the country now because I've resourced and used my network to build that network so I can learn and hear from all these other people and send people in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so powerful, man. I think it's and again, it comes down to finding your own self-worth, always creating enough value to where you don't have to worry about people leaving. But most of all, drop an ego, you know, and I think that's a whole battle in itself, but yeah, I think it's crucial.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you brought up Theo, and it's, you know, we all have a client, you know, Theo does, you know, her programming, you do her nutrition, I do her accountability coaching. Mm-hmm. And I think she's a great testament, obviously, you know, testimony to share, like the communication and the impact of having somebody that's better than you, right, to handle that, and then somebody that's better than you to handle that other part of it, and how if egos are dropped and the communication is there to her, because I know that you know what her training program is, so obviously now you know how to essentially do her nutrition, right?
Yeah.
And that's the best benefit for her, whether she was going to leave Theo for training or not, right? Like at this point, that's not even a consideration, because he provides value that you and I can't.
Yeah.
Right. And I provide a value that you and Theo can, and you provide a value, obviously, that Theo and I can. So how can we work together? And I just think that if people just had that frame of mind, there'd be so much value to be offered for everybody. Right.
Yeah.
Instead of just one person trying to take it all. And then the only one that gets a disservice is the client.
And I think patience with it, man, that's a good example too, of like, you know, like, there's no reason to say that like Theo knows more than me about training, but Theo's been working with her for so long that it's like, why would I step in? Like, I don't know her training and strength and mobility and stability and movement patterns like Theo does. His eye has been watching it.
Right.
And I mean, that applies to every realm. Like, mm-hmm. the longer you are able to commit to a goal or go through a process or work with somebody, I think the more they understand about your body, the more you know about your body, the more you know about your mind or your energy, the way you act, the actions you take, and you can learn how to work better and better and better. I mean, the longer I've worked with you, the more and more you know how to coach me because
right.
you understand how my brain works. And I think right. that's super valuable. But right. if I wasn't willing to commit, like if I called you and was like, I want to do coaching for 30 days, you'd be like, what? No, like,
right.
that doesn't even,
and it's funny because it happens. Right. And,
absolutely.
You know, we get the questions of, well, what if I only want to do it for 60 days? Right. Well, and I'm always honest. Like, look, first off and foremost, like I'm not going to guarantee anything. Right.
Yeah.
Cause there's so many variables. Right. But it's like, you know, I'm starting now to grasp that, like, there's got to be at least a minimum amount of time for the process and the habits to be formed. And then whatever the result from that is we'll find out. It's like a hypothetical, right? And I think nutrition's the very same way, where it's not, you can't guarantee somebody, you know, by their first conversation that they're going to lose a certain amount of weight in 30 days or 60 days, right? Because you don't know, you haven't gone through the process of what is going to work and what's not going to work, right? What if they get injured when they're training, right? And now they're out for 4 weeks. Like, how do you adjust
yeah.
to that? How do you adjust the nutrition to that, right? And I think that's one of the biggest missing components that people don't understand is, again, the ongoing education of, okay, you felt this way this week and you've never felt this way before. Okay, this next week we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, you felt great? Cool, let's keep it going.
Yeah.
Oh, you felt horrible again? Okay, let's shift something else. And that ongoing coaching is the missing piece for a lot of people.
And you have to track all that. You know, like, I think it's funny to me when people, like, I understand people not wanting to track macros for the rest of their life. Like, you don't want to log your food into an app. That's not a mind-blowing concept. Like, I get that. But I think it's funny when people really want a result, but they're unwilling to track any sort, like, form of metric or
right.
data.
Right.
They're like, if I approached a financial advisor and I had zero numbers, he would be like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, I can't, like, I literally can't do anything.
Right.
So like, for me, it's always like having that conversation at the beginning, like, hey, like, I need to know, how are you sleeping? How is your stress going? For some people, how your digestion is, how your energy is, how's your performance in the gym? Are you making PRs? So we have like a process, obviously, to update every week. And there's kind of like a scale of 1 to 5 for a bunch of different questions, because I want to know, like, how is your biofeedback?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is your body responding? And then we can correlate that to your consistency with your diet, to like what is going on in the gym, to your weight. And then you can tell me how you feel.
Right.
Like, here's a big section, like, give me your thoughts. And then I can kind of take all this data and go, okay, this is what's going on right now. And then it's reassuring to the client, because I can either say, hey, you're crushing it, here's why, like,
mm-hmm.
look at this.
Easy
and or, hey, I know you're not getting the result you wanted, but here's why.
Right.
So this is what we're going to tweak, and this is why we're going to tweak it. And that's going to lead to you getting that result.
Hmm.
And it's just more data. And I think that's the process of education that teaches people how to do this on their own someday, because
right.
they can see how it works along the way.
And I think, I would go out and say that a lot of coaches, it's like, they want to keep that close to the vest for that same reason, right? Because it's like, man, if I show them, then they're not going to need me anymore. And I think that's where the added value of a great coach comes into play, because it's not really, I always tell people this, look, like, yeah, we have a system within La Tribu, right? And of course, the system just makes sure that things are happening when they're supposed to be happening. But the all end all, like, the reason why a client's going to be with me, or, you know, now for 1.5, 2 years, is not going to be 100% because of the system, right? It's the human connection. It's the conversation. It's the ability to connect in a way that it's almost like they feel that they can't do it without you, not because you hold the secret sauce or anything like that, right? But it's just that feeling of, like, I know that that person is there, and at any time I can call them and ask questions and all that. And I've had it happen where, well, I'm gonna leave, like, I think I've kind of run my course with this coach. It's like, all right, cool, like, again, I'm not here to force anybody to stay. A couple months later, they're back.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just because they're missing that connection. And I think that's a piece that coaches really need to understand, all types of coaches, from all, I mean, whether you're coaching nutrition or accountability coaching or sport coaching, whatever it is, that the human connection is something that you can't replace with a system.
There's some like diet apps and software that have come out in the last couple of years that basically automate and have algorithms to program your macros and adjust your diet along the way so you can continue losing weight. And for some robotic people, it actually works because it's just calculations. But for the vast majority, it just doesn't. And I had a lot of people approach me who were like, man, are you freaked out? Like, are you scared that these people, like, you know, these robots are going to take over and you're not going to have a role? And it's like, no, man, because people want to hear my voice telling them what to do. Not a robot, not an algorithm.
Right.
And those algorithms can't read somebody's hormones or emotions or stress levels from work or their relationship and like things like that, that all play a role in every other area of your life.
Right.
So I think like you hit the nail on the head. It's like, you know, we love science. We're geeks on my end. And we have plenty of methods and all these cool science tools to use. But at the end of the day, it all stems back down to that connection. And this whole quarantine thing has been a great example of why that is like our base and our foundation no matter what, is because we doubled down on the connections we have with our clients, and we're strong because of it. And we're getting through this even better. And we're actually making even closer relationships with all of our clients because we had that in place and we just doubled down on it. And I think that's really what separates people.
Perfect. One thing I do want to make clear before we sign off is, you know, Taylor Coaching Method obviously is the company, but I want to be, you know, specific that, you know, you guys coach anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And you guys don't just do nutrition. If somebody needs training as well, you guys do that as well. If somebody just needs training, you guys do that as well. So I want to make sure that people don't think it's just like you guys are just nutritionists or just personal trainers, or, you know, that it's kind of like an all-encompassing education, I mean, monster, pretty much. That's what it comes down to. I mean, as far as in that world.
And we don't have a niche either, which I think is funny. Like, there's a lot of people in business will tell you that's a bad move. Like, you need to have a niche. Like, who are you working with? And people will be like, I work with golfers with elbow tendonitis between 40 and 50 and like, blah, 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 like just like down to the T. And I'm like, well, we work with 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. We work with men. We work with women. We work with athletes. We work with Gen Pop. We work with people tracking macros, people not. We work with coaches. Like, and the reason for that is like, I didn't want to put a limit or put my, like who I can help in a box.
Right.
And so I was like, you know what, this is going to take longer because I don't have a niche. Like, there's no smart marketing plan with that.
Right.
But I'm in this for the long run, so I don't care. And we've built it that way, which is something I'm really proud about. So point being is like, for the people listening is like, I mean, not as a sales pitch, but like whoever you are, you are the right fit is essentially like the whole goal behind it. Right. We work with every type of individual because we tailor the process to that individual.
Right. Perfect. So where can, I mean, if you want to share your IG and all that, and as usual, we'll put it on the details just so people can have access to that information.
Yeah. Everything is at tailoredcoachingmethod.com. I mean, we have a ton of free content, education stuff on there. My Instagram is at cody.boomboom. And then I have the Boom Boom Performance Podcast. If you want to dive into some of like the science behind stuff, I do get geeky on that one. So it's so be ready for that if you want to listen. But I do put out a lot of podcasts there too.
Perfect. And as far as like the process, I guess to get coaching with you, I mean, is it's all pretty much automated, right? As far as like they can just go to the website and click here, yep, and then just takes you through the process.
Yeah, super simple. There's apply buttons everywhere, and you just apply. You give us some information about you, and then we reach out to you and make sure that we're a good fit and you're a good fit for us. And if it is, then we move forward.
Perfect. All right, brother. Well, again, thanks again, man, for being on here. I appreciate it. And I mean, obviously, we'll do another podcast here pretty soon. I actually want to do one. I was just thinking about it a couple of days ago, and get into a little bit more of like just guys in life. You know, and I was thinking like you know, obviously guys, dads, husbands, you know, and just have a good conversation of things that are going on and how we can obviously just help each other, you know, get through the daily life obstacles. So for all you listeners, be on the lookout for that, because I'm really excited about putting something like that together, and I think it'd be great.
Yeah, no, I would love to do that, man. And thank you for having me on. Seriously, it's been good.
Perfect. All right, man.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.